Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Ho, ho, ho! What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A bit jet lagged today, I must say. It is Monday, July 24, 2017. I'm just getting back from the West Coast. First time ever out in Las Vegas. Flight got in around 7 o'clock yesterday, but oh boy, I tell you, one of my fraternity brothers, you know, I joke on the air all the time. I'm hitting that age now where I feel like every other day when I go on social media, I'm seeing at least one person that I know is getting engaged, somebody having a baby, or somebody's getting married already. And I'm hitting that age where everybody's making that leap, right? So one of my fraternity brothers, shout out to my frat brother Brandon. He had his bachelor party out in Las Vegas. He'll be getting married in September. I was out there, out in Vegas for the first time for 2 days. Came back on Sunday. You know, you got the three-hour time difference. Had a ball out there. I'll share more of my adventures out in Vegas later on this hour. But a bit jet-lagged, so bear with me throughout this hour. We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there. Boy, oh boy, I tell you what, I was traveling, but I couldn't put my smartphone down as I was following what was happening in the British Open and what many people are calling one of the greatest mental rounds of golf ever played. Folks, Jordan Spieth is quickly becoming the face of the golf world. We will revisit how in the world Jordan Spieth was able to shake off an absolutely horrid front nine at the British Open to bounce back to put together one of the greatest strings of golf that you'll ever see. Shout out to Jordan Spieth. We'll talk about the British Open. Also, Today, the unofficial start of college football in the Big Ten as Big Ten Media Days are underway, officially underway, starting today in Chicago, Illinois. Right now, I'm working frantically to try and get Alex Sims, sports reporter for WLNS-TV6 here in Lansing, Michigan. Alex is out there covering Big Ten Media Days. Mark D'Antonio is scheduled to talk in about just under 50 minutes now. So we're going to try and get Alex, try is the key word here, because I just texted her and she's running around. It's crazy there right now. But I'm going to try to get her on the show around 1:30 just to talk about what the atmosphere is like there, if she's talked to any players that are along with Mark D'Antonio, and just her overall feel for the Big Ten college football season right around the corner. Can't believe that. And I tell you what, outside, it's only about, 60 degrees outside. It feels like fall football weather already, doesn't it? Weird day today. Also, later on this hour, we'll talk about Kyrie Irving. That was the other big news I was following over the weekend as I was out of town, as my phone blew up. And Kyrie Irving, point guard of the Cleveland Cavaliers, he wants to be traded? I've got an interesting thought on that story as it pertains to arguably the best basketball player in the world in LeBron James. Trust me, you don't want to miss that conversation. And on the back end of the show, we will have weekend winners for you. We want to hear from you all. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to Facebook.com /currentsports, and even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. A fantastic hour in store for all of you out there. Let's kick it off like we usually do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we'll begin with Big Ten Media Days. Big Ten Media Days start today and continue Tuesday out in Chi-Town, Chicago, Illinois. MSU football coach Mark D'Antonio scheduled to speak at 1:45 p.m., while University of Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh will be speaking at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. Now, some of the big news you can expect during these 2 days include roster news, health updates, workout progress, and so much more. We will dive into what we want to know when it comes to Big Ten Media Days as it pertains to both Michigan State University football and the University of Michigan football. You don't want to miss that. And speaking of University of Michigan football, just a day after reports emerged that Michigan was hiring former San Francisco 49ers exec Tom Gamble, Jim Harbaugh has made another significant addition to his personnel staff. According to Football Scoop, Matt Dudek, previously the director of player personnel and GM at Arizona, will be joining Michigan staff as the new director of recruiting. Dudek spent 5 years at Arizona, joining former Michigan coach Rich Rod. That's right, Rich Rodriguez's staff late in 2011. Through his first 4 years in Tucson, Dudek served as the director of on-campus recruiting and player personnel before becoming college football's first ever GM in 2016. While the athletic department has yet to confirm reports of the hiring, Dudek is now listed as an official employee in the school's directory. All right, former Michigan football star and now Cleveland Browns rookie defensive back Jabril Peppers has signed, and now Cleveland's entire draft class is under an official contract. Peppers and the Browns had been haggling over guaranteed money on his 4-year deal, which is worth $10.3 million and includes $5.6 million, and that's his signing bonus. Now, the Browns chose Peppers, one of Cleveland's 3 first round selections, with the number 25th overall pick. Peppers played numerous positions for the Wolverines, but the Browns will try him at strong safety and as a kick returner. The Detroit Tigers topped the Minnesota Twins 9-6 on Sunday at Target Field and finished 4-3 for their first winning road trip of the season. Justin Wilson allowed a solo homer to Brian Dozier, but pitched the final 4 outs for the Tigers to earn his 12th save. Jose Iglesias hit a 2-run homer to left to break a 2-2 tie in the 7th. That ball traveled an estimated 421 to 430 feet. Iglesias was thrown out trying to turn a single into a double in the 9th inning of a 6-5 loss on Saturday. Tigers manager Brad Ausmus announced after the game that the Tigers called up right-handed pitcher Drew Verhagen and option outfielder Jim Aducci to AAA Toledo. Tigers first baseman Miguel Cabrera returned to the lineup after missing 1 game with a right clavicle contusion. He just cannot stay healthy. Cabrera went 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts on Sunday and 3-for-23 during the road trip. Not a great outing for Miggy. The Tigers also beat the Twins on Friday 6-3. Shark Week. Love it. Part of the Discovery Channel's way of boosting up their ratings for nearly 3 decades now, but this year the channel tried to outdo itself. Their main special was a match race between Michael Phelps and a great white shark. Kid you not, the race, which was broadcasted on Sunday night, seemed to disappoint all the viewers who tuned in for the hour-long special. This was an hour-long special. People left so mad about this. I would be mad, too, if I sat there for an hour and then saw what happened at the end of the show, only to see Phelps racing against a virtual reality shark. That is not a real shark. That's a fake shark, all right? Computer-generated shark. The program seemed about as realistic as the movie Sharknado, right? First off, it was not exactly a race. Phelps swam alone, time trial style, in the waters of South Africa. It also wasn't a real shark like they promoted. As I mentioned, when the race was shown, Phelps was matched with a computer-generated image of a shark, supposedly simulating a real shark speed. The shark even leaped out of the water to finish at the finish line for a conventionally spectacular visual, I guess. To top off the program, Phelps ended up losing the race to that fake computer-generated shark in this hour-long special. Isaac, I would be pretty mad if I sat there for 60 minutes and that is what they came up with to end it? Come on, man.
Remember when Shark Week used to be cool now? Now they've got back-to-back years of fake stuff. Last year they had the Megalodon. Now they've got the computer-generated shark. You gotta be kidding me.
The Megalodon, I don't remember. What was that?
They were circulating rumors that a megalodon had resurfaced and was still alive. You know, that's like the oldest shark that was ever alive. It was 50 feet long or something like that. And it turns out they made up all of it. This is supposed to be a science channel. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Well, at the end of the day, I mean, Michael Phelps isn't sour about anything. I mean, he probably got paid to do this special, right? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's an easy check for him. All right, Batman and Robin are going through a rough patch in their relationship, to say the least. ESPN's Brian Windhorst reported over the weekend that Kyrie Irving met with the Cleveland Cavaliers front office, and this happened actually several weeks ago, to request a trade because he no longer wants to play with the Cavs and LeBron James. Irving's favorites are reported to be the San Antonio Spurs, Minnesota Timberwolves, New York Knicks, and the Miami Heat. James was rumored to have been, quote, blindsided, end quote, and hurt by Irving's request, but Irving's camp isn't buying that. The most recent leaks have Irving's camp accusing James himself of leaking the trade discussions. This is a lot of drama, isn't it? Either way, a big hit for the league's number one player. We'll double back when it comes to that story in just a moment. How about Jordan Spieth, who won the British Open yesterday, capturing his third career major championship? Spieth used a remarkable string of holes on the back nine to hold off Matt Kuchar and win the third championship major of his career. He won by three shots, the same margin he started the day with after a final round, 1-under-69. He played the last five holes in 5-under-par. Are you kidding me? Spieth was behind by a shot after 13 when he went birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie to snatch the tournament away from Matt. The hot streak came after he made an improbable bogey from the driving range after taking an unplayable penalty shot, which I think that shot was a bit overrated. However, impressive that he was only able to, you know, not triple bogey that hole, but just to move out that hole with a bogey. All right. And Isaac, please help me with this name, dude. You're a big Tour de France guy. Who won the Tour de France over the weekend?
Chris Froome, now four-time winner.
Chris Froome is a four-time winner. Wow. Yeah, he won his fourth Tour de France after Champs-Élysées, his procession. The French capital was in a lockdown on Sunday, actually, with extra security around Champs-Élysées, which had been turned into a vast sterile zone as a foretaste of what awaits the French capital when the Olympics arrive either in 2024 or 2028. The 32-year-old Kenyan-born British rider finished 54 seconds ahead of Colombian Rigoberto Urán overall, the smallest margin of his wins. Now, Froome, he looked emotional as he lifted the race winner's bouquet of flowers, his eyes noticeably watering. Then, smiling broadly, he gave a thumbs up to the crowd before going to pick up his young son and walking back onto the podium with him in his arms. Froome joined cycling greatness record books alongside Lance Armstrong, Miguel Indurain, and Bernard Hinault. There you have that. I'll have an interesting take on Froome's accomplishment later on for weekend winners, but that is, or I should say those are, your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin WKAR. Here we go.
so far right. Not another ball now. My goodness.
Oh, that's all of the spectators. This is catastrophic.
I think they found it, but it's a long way right, fellas. He's just trying to find out where he can drop. He wants to go back in line here and drop it down the flat near the driving range.
Here we go. Gang of the nine.
Resilience this young man has shown in the last hour is beyond belief.
And of course he makes it. This is it then. Jordan Spieth, the Open champion, with one of the most stunning last few hole performances we've ever seen to win the Claret Jug.
Now please welcome your champion golfer of the year, Jordan Spieth.
What a moment it was. Happy Monday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Could have started the show today multiple ways. Of course, out in Chicago right now, Big Ten Media Days are taking place. We'll get to that in just a moment. Trust me. We'll get to that. Just hold tight. Also, we'll be getting to the Kyrie Irving trade situation. I know many of you want to weigh in on that as well, but, you know, I'm just getting back from the West Coast. I was out in Las Vegas for a bachelor party for my fraternity brother, and you know what, on my way back, my flight was Sunday afternoon. Well, there's a three-hour time difference, right, which I'm still trying to get used to now being here and being here back in Michigan. But, you know, when I was about to board the plane, and even while on the plane, thank goodness for Wi-Fi. You know, I don't know if many people know this, but planes have Wi-Fi now. I love it. But while on the plane, you know, I'm sitting there following pretty closely Jordan Spieth trying to win his third major in his career. And he did in spectacular fashion, in dramatic fashion. Heck, you can even make an argument that what we saw yesterday, the up and down round of Jordan Spieth, was more entertaining, much more entertaining than what we saw from the NBA playoffs. And heck, you guys know my argument when it comes to the NBA right now. The NBA offseason has been more compelling and entertaining than what we saw in the playoffs as well. But Jordan Spieth, I mean, gosh, you got to love the kid because, I mean, he's so young. We're talking about a 23-year-old golfer who has just won his third major. Who knows if he'll ever get to what that Tiger Woods mark of 14. It's still so young in his career. But I love Jordan because it's amazing because I went on social media and you see so many people posting about Jordan Spieth winning the British Open. And what I find is so remarkable as to why Jordan Spieth is able to relate with so many golf fans out there is because he's relatable. His game is relatable, folks. And I've always said, if you were to take Jordan Spieth, if you look at some of the young talent in golf right now, if you were to take Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, those are the young studs in the game, right, that everybody talks about. And if you were to line those guys up on a driving range and say, and again, you didn't know their names, but just looking at them, Jordan wouldn't be the first guy you pick if you had like a golf fantasy team and you got to choose out of those four. I mean, heck, he may even be the last. I mean, he's not really physically intimidating. You know, he's not going to bomb it off the tee. you know, like we've seen from like guys like, especially Jason Day. I mean, Jason Day hits his three iron like 300 yards. It's insane watching Jason Day warm up and do his thing and some of the shots that he makes, right? But the thing I love about Jordan Spieth is that he's such a remarkable putter. And that, I always say the short game in golf is what wins you majors. And he's so relatable because, I mean, I'm an avid golfer myself, and I don't know how many times, countless times, where I'm just everywhere off the tee. Either I'm shanking it left, shanking it right, you know. I'm starting to get more consistent off the tee box and just hitting just a nice, low, straight cut that gets me in the fairway so I can play my next approach shot, right? But Jordan Spieth, if you go back and watch what happened in that round, because as soon as I got home, I'm like, I gotta go to my laptop and see exactly how this round really played out. Because he starts the round bogeying, what, three of the first four holes. And shades of last year's Masters. I know I hate to bring it up, but gosh, I mean, he's been trying to shake that bugaboo for quite some time. Jordan Spieth at Augusta. In less than 45 minutes, he saw a five-shot lead suddenly go down to a three-shot deficit. People call it one of the greatest, if not the greatest, meltdown in Masters history. He's been trying to shake that for quite some time. And shades of that, memories of that moment, came into the minds of many while watching yesterday's British Open final round. Without a doubt. And especially the drama that actually happened on the 13th hole. And I didn't know there was an inside story as to how Jordan Spieth's caddy basically saved him when it came to that moment. That was a wild 13th hole because Jordan Spieth should have walked away with like a triple bogey on that hole. At the 13th, Spieth hit his tee shot about 100 yards to the right of the fairway. There was about a 15-minute delay. Gotta love the drama in golf, right? About a 15-minute delay that led to Spieth eventually deciding to declare an unplayable lie and take a drop farther back on actually the practice driving range. Now, you look at how this panned out, and this is the inside story that I didn't know. Spieth had a much cleaner lie in the practice area, basically hitting off a fairway lie of grass, right? But his shot to the green was blind. And his own calculation, actually, of how far he was from the green turned out to be initially way off. That's why caddies who caddy for some of the biggest names in the PGA Tour. That's why they get paid the big bucks. You know why? Because at that moment, when Jordan Spieth's caddy, Michael Greeler, when he saw how off Spieth's calculation was, according to Spieth, he thought he was actually 270 yards to the front of the green, and he wanted to hit a three-wood. And Spieth went on to say this, quote, "I walked up there and tried to do the yardage in my head, and I thought I was somewhere around 270 to the front. And then Michael was like, buddy, you're 230 to the front, somewhere around there." So Spieth initially was 40 yards off, and that would have been disastrous if he would have hit a three-wood. Spieth went on to say that normally he would trust his own yardage calculations on odd shots like that. But this time, Michael Greeler, the caddy of Jordan Spieth, he trusted Greeler and expressed confidence in him. And then that's when Spieth relented. I love that story. And then what do we see after that, right? So he goes on to save what could have been a triple bogey. He just bogeys on that hole. And then we see Jordan Spieth put together one of the most remarkable putting displays in major history. Couldn't believe what I saw when I watched the highlights. I mean, some of those putts were like 40 plus feet, and he's just nailing them one after another after another. After 13 holes, he went birdie Eagle. That Eagle putt was crazy, too. Birdie, Eagle, birdie, birdie to snatch the tournament away from Matt Kuchar. Loved it. Jordan Spieth, I love him, man. Because that's what we love when we can relate to athletes, right? There's been so many times, just about every time I go out, where I'm starting horribly. And then somehow I'm able to try and get things out and iron out the wrinkles on the back nine. We can relate to that. And we can relate. We all could relate. All golfers out there who golf casually could relate to that round that we saw from Jordan Spieth yesterday. So my question to all of our listeners out there, I want to know, how do you feel about the career of Jordan Spieth and whether or not he can become the face of golf now? Because right now what we're seeing with Jordan Spieth being so young and now winning three major championships, he is on pace for one remarkable career. He really is. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's not compare this to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is different on so many levels. Tiger Woods dominating the game of golf the way he did in the early 2000s. Tiger Woods being multi-ethnic as well and bringing fans to the game that normally wouldn't even think about picking up a golf club before him. You know, I always say that my dad, the reason why he decided to pick up a club one day is because of Tiger Woods. He could relate. It's all about relating, right? So many kids in the urban community could relate to Tiger Woods because Tiger Woods looked like them. That's the reason why I started playing. So let's not compare this to Tiger, because Tiger is Tiger, all right? And we love to do it in every single sport. We're always wondering who is that next guy, right? When MJ retired, who is the next MJ? You know, people start looking at Kobe Bryant. Well, Kobe plays like him. He chews his gum like him. He wears his shorts like him, right? I mean, we're always wondering who is the next guy. Tiger was different. Tiger's different on so many levels when discussing the game of golf. I do believe that we are starting to see the makings of a Phil Mickelson-like career when it comes to Jordan Spieth. We're starting to see the preliminary stages of a career like that. I mean, heck, Phil Mickelson will go down as one of the greatest to ever play. Maybe a top five golfer of all time. Tiger, I think, will sit around that 2 to 3 range when we sit and reminisce about his career. Because we all know Jack Nicklaus. I mean, Tiger's not catching Jack now. That ship is gone now. I always say, you know, Tiger, when we saw Tiger at his prime, he is the best prime golfer we've ever seen. We've ever seen play. But when it comes to career accomplishments, Jack still edges Tiger when it comes to that. But Jordan Spieth is pretty good. And this, in many ways, reminds me of a run that we saw from Rory McIlroy at one point, whose name we don't even bring up anymore. I think Rory's game is getting back on track a little bit, but Rory has really been an afterthought now. You know, like the last two seasons, we've seen, you know, Fowler, Day, Spieth. We've really seen those guys really just come out of nowhere and really lead the charge when it comes to young talent in the game of golf. So I'm wondering when we'll see Rory start to maybe get on a roll here. But right now, Jordan Spieth is that guy. And he's interesting to me on so many levels. I mean, when you see Jordan, when he makes a putt, when he's giving you emotion, man, fist pumps, you know, pointing at people, love the kid. And what we saw yesterday, it was one of the greatest moments of the sporting world thus far. To come back the way he did, to be able to battle mentally after a horrible start like he had at the British Open in that final round, that was a joy to watch. I just wish I wasn't on a plane while it was happening. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Do you guys believe that Jordan Spieth can become the face of golf? Or is he right now in your eyes the face of golf? Because you can make that argument as well. I mean, he's getting commercials. He's getting endorsements. He's very active on social media. He's young. Again, he's no Tiger, but who is? Jordan Spieth, you got a fan in me, my man. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about Big Ten Media Days underway out in Chicago. We'll try to check in with Alex Sims WLNS TV 6 sports reporter and anchor. She's out there right now covering it. We've been texting back and forth. I'm going to try to get her on the airwaves. If not, though, we'll be talking about Big Ten Media Days and what you want to know concerning the Michigan college football team and the Michigan State college football team. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, you can weigh in multiple ways. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Dedicated a little bit of that segment A to Jordan Spieth winning the British Open in stellar fashion. I can't really compare. Well, I probably can. No, I really can't. I'm battling with myself mentally about this now. I'm trying to compare whether or not we saw anything like that from Tiger Woods during his playing career, you know, where he just absolutely starts horribly. Think about Tiger Woods. I mean, he would blow you out from, like, Thursday to Sunday. You just had no shot. During Tiger Woods' prime, there was really no close contest going on at all. I mean, we would have the debate, which is crazy to reminisce about now. We would realistically have the debate whether or not Tiger Woods, where you pick one golfer and Tiger Woods out of a field like 100 golfers or the field, we would legitimately have that debate. And it was a realistic one because Tiger Woods was that good. It was just what there weren't a lot of close contests like what we saw from Jordan Spieth last night, collapsing to start and then rebounding somehow, some way, and then going on the string of golf like he did. I mean, it was amazing to watch yesterday. So I'm asking you all, I mean, what did you think of that round yesterday? And do you think Jordan Spieth can become the face of golf? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And before we talk Big Ten Media Days, which is currently underway out in Chicago, I'm seeing nothing from Alex right now. We'll try to get actually one of our former current sports production assistants, Zachary Swiezicki of Impact Sports. I believe Swy is out there covering it, right, Isaac?
He is, yeah. It looks like both of those guys are probably just waiting for D'Antonio to take the podium because it's Lovie Smith right now. D'Antonio will be next.
Gotcha. So, yeah, they may be. We may not get anyone this hour because that's kind of inconvenient because Coach D talks at 1:45 in literally 10 minutes. So we'll keep trying, knowing we'll keep you guys updated. But I want to read a quick comment. Again, you can weigh in via Facebook.com/currentsports as well. This one comes from our dear listener and friend, Ben Grimes. Quote, the Kyrie Irving trade request comes as a surprise to me as well. Why? I can't believe that he wants out. But I feel like the Cavs team is having some major issues when it comes to LeBron James, Kyrie, and some of the guys in that locker room. And I would not want to be in the locker room if there was that much tension. Cleveland is a team that whines and cries when things don't go their way. And if they don't get the calls to go their way, it's ridiculous. The team needs to get along and quit whining and crying. That comes from Ben Grimes, one of our favorite listeners of the show there, Isaac. And, you know, brief thoughts on this whole Kyrie Irving trade situation. It came as a big surprise to me, as well as much of the basketball world, when we heard about Kyrie Irving reports and rumors, well, I should say reports that were confirmed, I should say, by ESPN's Brian Windhorst, that Kyrie Irving had requested a trade. Surprising to me because this is a team, Isaac, that has gone to back-to-back-to-back NBA Finals, right? Kyrie Irving being a big part of that. The numbers he has thrown up throughout this final stretch is absolutely remarkable. And heck, when the Cavs won it 2 years ago, I mean, we all know the shot over Steph Curry, right? Insane. He's one of the most entertaining offensive players in the game right now. Ridiculous handle. He's one of the most popular players in the league. He's extremely marketable. The Uncle Drew commercials. I mean, his personality, he's very funny. He's charming, charismatic when we see him. And now you have a situation where you're playing alongside the best basketball player on planet Earth, and you want to be traded? So when I really, you know, because we were out in Las Vegas, me and my fraternity brothers were out in Las Vegas, and some of the other homies were in Vegas, like I said, for this bachelor party, and we're chilling by the pool, and that news comes through, and we're like, our homie Chris is like, yeah, Kyrie wants to be traded. And I'm like, you're joking. Where are you seeing that at, dude? Mm-hmm. And he pulled out his phone, and it's ESPN SportsCenter, their Instagram page reporting this. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then we start to have this big, elaborate conversation about the king, LeBron James, and how throughout his career, dating back to the infant stages of his career with the Cleveland Cavaliers before he left to go to the Miami Heat, and then from the Miami Heat now back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron is not the easiest to play with. LeBron James's personality sometimes can be a bit overbearing, I think, Isaac. And even though this is a player, when you look at how he plays the game, it's all about feeding and getting players involved, right? And it's a joy to be able to be the recipient of one of his passes, right? Because he sees the game so well. However, he's so driven, and his legacy, with him being so anal about how his legacy will be looked at once his career is said and done, he can drive teammates insane, I think. And away from the court, I think that there are many internal problems that the Cleveland Cavaliers are battling with now when it comes to that one word, that word being chemistry. We've seen moments throughout his career, LeBron's career, where he's getting on a teammate and there's like this disconnect. And it looks like a few of his teammates just don't like playing with him. And I think that Kyrie Irving is a personality that he knows he's so good. Now, don't get me wrong. The dude does not play defense. He can't even spell the word defense. That's why whatever this next move is going to be, it is going to have to be for a team that is not the Spurs. Can you see him playing for the Greg Popovich will go insane on Kyrie Irving. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude. It's not flying there. I think maybe Houston will be a good fit because they play no defense over there, right? Houston would be the perfect fit. The rumors about, you know, it would be interesting if maybe a trade with Wiggins and Irving may happen, and then you have Kyrie Irving out there in Minnesota. And Minnesota instantly becomes, if that happens, one of the top four best teams in the NBA. But it's crazy to me, and I think it says a lot when you have a player like the caliber of a Kyrie Irving who is playing for the best team in the Eastern Conference, one team out. There is something going on. I think we don't know what it is right now, but I do think in the next coming months, you know, as this story unwinds and more reporting is done, the locker room issues will be a conversation. I think it will be revealed in those coming months.
Born it. Is LeBron James.
It
to
is.
Make
Let's
one
be real.
Thing clear,
For sure.
It is LeBron James. If there's a word I'd use to describe his personality, it's domineering.
Because,
you know, I'm a
and
huge
I think that
fan.
Kyrie wants to be the guy.
He does. Oh, I don't think there's a
you know,
question about
with
that.
LeBron
which is,
James, you're never going to be that guy.
Yep. And
you know?
That's the thing that surprised me in a way. I started looking up the stats. Usage rating, which is kind of a percentage of how many plays a player on a team is involved in, meaning how many passes they distribute, you know, how many assists they get, how many shots they put up, all of that stuff. Kyrie's got a higher one than LeBron. LeBron's so unselfish on the court. Off the court, he's pretty unselfish once he steps out of that stadium. He donates a lot to charity. By all accounts, he's a good guy, a role model. You know where he's not good, though? It's when he talks to coaches. It's when he talks to the front office. It's when he talks to teammates, sometimes in the locker room. Because LeBron, like I said, he's domineering. He's too much of a perfectionist for so many of these guys, where he's very controlling. And this is just from watching him for the past, what now, 13, 14 years. It's clear that LeBron is a control freak. Whenever it comes to this team, he shuts down moves that would otherwise happen if he wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. You've heard that is a possible rumor for Kyrie's complaints that there were deals in place with guys like Paul George, with guys like Jimmy Butler.
Right.
And guess what? It didn't happen. Maybe LeBron stepped in and said, I still want a guy like James Jones on my team. That's a very likely possibility. So with LeBron, you want him on the court, you want him in the community, but you do think that eventually he has to take his hands off the franchise and let it do it. Now for Kyrie, I still think this is a short-sighted move because Kyrie Irving, not only can he not play defense, he's not a great passer. At the point guard position, he only gets about 5 assists a game, and that's on a team with J.R. Smith, who's an instant assist getter for you as a point guard because right. The guy just shoots at will. Kevin Love, guy who can step to the corner, hit a 3, plus make a couple post moves as well. And LeBron James, of course, another great scorer in this league. So I think Kyrie definitely will have his stats diminished by no longer playing with that team. And again, I think San Antonio is an odd option if you're tired of not being the star.
Yeah.
Then you want to go to the most selfless team in the NBA.
Right.
So I think it makes sense in very few ways whatsoever, just goes to show how dysfunctional this Cleveland Cavaliers team is through and through.
Very dysfunctional. Darren Weiss comments on our Facebook page and says, Al, LeBron let Kyrie do the heavy lifting all season. You brought up this stat, Isaac. Had a higher usage rate per. Remember last time when Kyrie was the guy? They ended up with the first pick. Well, Darren, this is what I mean by the guy. We all know that, okay, you can look at that usage rate and say, okay, and you can take that into account. But let's be real here. We all know whose team this is. And that's what I mean by being the guy. We all know at the end of the day who's calling the shots and who is in charge. Heck, LeBron has more pull than the head coach in Tyronn Lue, okay? LeBron arguably has more pull than Dan Gilbert, who owns the team, for goodness sake. Kyrie doesn't want to be a part of that anymore. He wants his own team. When you mention the Cleveland Cavaliers, the first name you think about is LeBron James. Kyrie Irving, I believe, wants to be in that same light, looked at in that same light for his own team. And like I said, it's not fun to play with LeBron James during the season. Great guy, as you said, Isaac. Great guy, but his personality can be a bit overbearing. Just not a fun guy to play with. And it was remarkable, though, because I had that conversation. We were having this conversation over the weekend and talking about LeBron's career and how he isn't, you know, the most fun player to play with. But, you know, you bring up crazy personalities, who, you know, some of the greats to ever play the game, like a Magic, like a Bird, for goodness sake, like a Michael Jordan, you know, and how Jordan punched Steve Kerr doing a practice one day. You know what I mean? But I think Jordan and those other greats, even Kobe Bryant, to a degree, Jordan was able to he was able to push the right buttons to get the most out of his teammates without turning them all the way off. You know what I mean? I think that when you look at how Jordan managed a team, did he demand a certain expectation? For sure. But I feel like LeBron sometimes puts too much in the media. You know, with the social media hints sometimes when he's posting Instagram pictures, that didn't exist in the 90s and whatnot. But, you know, Michael would handle that stuff in-house and was still able to make sure that that chemistry was still there. If you've seen the 30 for 30 with the Lakers and the Celtics, Larry Bird, my goodness.
Oh, I mean, nobody like Larry.
Nobody did. But Larry was not going to embarrass you, I think. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't. If you were on Larry's squad, Larry, at the end of the day, had your back, you know? And I think sometimes LeBron isolates certain players thinking that that's the right way to go about it. It's not about that. It's about making sure that you all are on one accord. And I just don't think LeBron knows how to manage those personalities like some of the greats of the past had.
Well, and I wouldn't say Kobe could either because he let Shaq go. I mean, yeah. You know, and that's the thing.
Right,
if that duo would have stuck
Kobe
together.
Later in his career found out how to do that.
He eventually did.
He won that fifth championship with Paul Gasol and Odom and those guys. If remember the Spike Lee documentary that he did?
Oh,
you can see Kobe talking to different players and encouraging them. I mean, it was a different Kobe Bryant than the early 2000s Kobe Bryant.
And you're right about that. Kobe Bryant, who would not talk to one player on his team, that being Smush Parker amongst others. You know, I mean, Kobe had all sorts of horror stories in his relations with teammates. So did Jordan. I think there's An odd analogy for this, though, Al, you know when you go to a family gathering and they're distant cousins, stuff like that, and there's that one cousin or that one uncle or whoever, who everybody always tells you, oh, stay away from them, they're weird, nobody likes them. They might be good at what they do, they might be making a lot of money in business, but they're kind of the guy who everybody hates, so you stay away from them. Then you've got the guys in the middle who you don't really like that much, but they're normal enough so that you have to associate with them. That's who LeBron is. He's a nice enough guy. I mean, he's going to go up to you, he's going to talk to you, stuff like that. Where you have to talk to him throughout your time there, throughout the season. You have to kind of like him, but he's also going to put you off. Whereas a guy like Jordan, a guy like Kobe, a guy like Bird, you hate him. Seriously, if you play on a team with him, you do not like that person. But you understand at the same time, this guy is getting us wins. This guy is getting us championships. That's how it is. You don't have any ambivalent feelings about them. You know what they do because it's black and white. It's plain and simple. Mm-hmm. With LeBron, it's a lot more muddled of a mix. So you're not really sure to what to make of it if you're a teammate of his. I think both Jordan and Kobe were alienating, but they found the players who were willing to put up with that as a second fiddle. The difference is Kyrie Irving was the number one overall pick in the draft.
Right.
He cannot be
he doesn't want to play
overshadowed.
He doesn't want to play that. He wants to go. So, like I said, he wants to go somewhere where he's the guy. He's never going to be able to LeBron James. Not like LeBron James is retiring anytime soon. It's just amazing that you put in perspective this trade request and how the NBA is ever changing. Right, you're going to NBA Finals for goodness sake. What are you complaining about? Right. Right now, I think that a lot of players. And I do believe with this, Kyrie is a bit selfish here. You know, it's not it's more than winning when it comes to today's NBA superstars, when it comes to a few of them, right? Not everybody is the Kevin Durant type of personality where he just wants to win. He doesn't care. He just wants to win. Kyrie wants to win while also being the guy. That's what he's saying here, or at least what he's putting off is the move here. And he just isn't happy playing for the Cavs. So I want to know what our listeners think, though. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. This is our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about Big Ten Media Days, what we can expect from head coach Mark D'Antonio and head coach Jim Harbaugh of Michigan State and U of M. And I see right now the tweets are rolling in from multiple beat reporters. We'll get to that and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have just about 10 minutes left in today's show. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Mark D'Antonio has just taken the podium at Big Ten Media Days out in Chicago, Illinois. I'm seeing multiple tweets from various beat reporters, including Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. Just want to read from Chris's Twitter account, at Chris Solari. He says, very short intro from D'Antonio, quote, last year, this is the direct quote from Coach D, quote, last year, I remember I talked about our culture, graduation, championships, those types of things. Now we will talk about commitment, change, learning from the past. D'Antonio says a lot of freshmen have a chance to get on the field in early in their careers. Quote, I've been very impressed with their maturity and discipline. D'Antonio says the Allen brothers are at the top of that list of the group of brothers that MSU has had in recent years. So, again, this is going to go on for quite some time. Again, Big Ten Media Days from Chicago, Illinois. A few things that will be addressed, I'm sure. You talk about, you know, him addressing the culture and everything. Everybody, of course, wants to know about the investigation, right? What is the update there and how has that affected this team in the offseason now approaching this upcoming college football championship? That's at the top of my list as well when it comes to what I want to know or what I want to hear about coming out of Big Ten Media Days.
The status of Demetrius Cooper is also one of the big points that a lot of people, a lot of Spartan fans out there want to know about. Last we heard, Coach D said that he was thinking over the status of Cooper after he was arrested on an assault and battery charge last year. Cooper pleaded no contest to that misdemeanor charge in March, but violated his bond agreement a month later by possessing alcohol. So, what exactly is going to happen with the Michigan State senior defensive end named Demetrius Cooper? Position battles, they, you know, and also staff changes as well. A lot of, you know, we hinted on this at the very middle, I should say around the very beginning of the summer, I should say, especially coming off a 3-9 season. Why were there no significant staff changes? A lot of Spartan fans out there feel like Coach D'Antonio is a bit too loyal. And, you know, when it comes to his guys, those are his guys. Now, in his defense, those guys did win a Rose Bowl. Those guys did win a Cotton Bowl. Those guys went to the college football playoff. But when you go 3-9, something clearly was not right last season. So we will certainly keep you all updated, and we'll have a show dedicated towards Big Ten Media Days tomorrow. While also, I'm looking forward to this as well. We'll have our very own Scott Pohl live in studio with us. And he got a chance to sit down with a pretty big name in Detroit Tigers history. You do not want to miss this. And all week, we're dedicating a lot of our shows, such as Morning Edition, All Things Considered, to the Detroit Riots, the anniversary of the Detroit Riots back in the 60s. The Detroit Tigers actually had a big hand and a big part in trying to calm down those riots. And one particular player, Scott Pohl, got the invite to head to his house, which is still in the Metro Detroit area, and pick his brain about it. Trust me, you do not want to miss tomorrow's show. We'll also have Terry Kilday, USGA rules official and director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties, on. He will talk about the Michigan amateur, junior amateur, coming to Eagle Eye Golf Course very soon. So you don't want to miss that either. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana on. Ray, what's up, my man?
Hey, I'm going to tell you, go back to the 50s and 60s. I'm aging myself saying this now, but the Lions had a heck of a defense, a fearsome foursome.
The Detroit Lions defense.
Huh?
You said the Detroit Lions defense, Ray?
Yeah. They had a great defense. They used to lose 7-6, 9-7 to Bart Starr and the Packers. They had a quarterback. We didn't. They had a heck of a defense, that fearsome foursome.
Yeah, I've heard. Those are the good days for the Lions, I guess, if there were any good days in Detroit Lions history. But we all know it's a struggle for this team. We'll be talking about the Lions as the season comes near.
When Bobby Lane won all them titles. I don't remember that, but I do remember Alex Karras and Darius McCord and Joe Schmidt and the linebacker. They'd play great defense against the Packers every year. They'd lose 7-6 or 9-7 to Bart Starr. He'd kick a winning field goal.
Ray, I'm curious. Where did this Detroit Lions thought come from? I'm just curious. Were you reading something up on the Lions recently?
Well, no. I'm just trying to go back in history. You were talking about the Tigers. I was saying, you know, the Lions had some history back then. Now, that's a long time ago, I know.
Right.
It's been 50 years, and they've never been to a Super Bowl. There's one guy on NFL Network today predicted the Lions to be the Atlanta Falcons this year.
The Atlanta Falcons. Well, I see a lot of projections of a 5-11 season. The projections right now that have come out, various media sources out there, I was reading a bit of that this morning, they aren't great for the Detroit Lions. Let's just put it that way. But again, who knows anything at this point in the NFL year, right?
It's just like baseball. They all predict they're going to win it before the season starts. Same with football.
Right.
I mean, nobody knows for sure. They're human beings. You just got to watch it out on the field. That's why we pay the money to go see it, right?
Ray, we got 2 minutes left. I'm curious, though. Big Ten Media Days, you're a quasi-fan.
I'm going to predict the biggest upset of the year.
Okay, what is that?
The Spartans go into Ann Arbor and beat the bullies and make them cry again this year.
I have a question, Ray, and this is a question I brought up on Thursday's show. To peep this question, again, we only got 2 minutes. I want you to answer this as quick as possible, though. What would you rather see? Michigan State become bowl eligible and win at least 6 games this upcoming year? or not go to a bowl game but absolutely stomp on U of M when they do meet?
Oh.
What would you rather have?
No question about it. Beat U of M.
You say skip a bowl, right? Who cares about an Alamo Bowl or a Tostitos?
If you beat them hardball, they'll be looking for his job next.
I hear you.
They've already fired three or four coaches. Harbaugh will be next if he loses again to State and Ohio State this year.
No, let's be real, Ray. That Jim Harbaugh, he is the guy.
How many years do you think they're going to get him? This is his third year, buddy.
Yeah, this is third year, but Jim Harbaugh is worshipped out in Ann Arbor right now. Ray, we got to go, man, but
let him lose to the Spartans in Ohio State this year. We'll see what reaction it turns into, okay?
Ray from Indiana, my man. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Beat the bullies.
All right, weekend winners. Isaac, who you got, man? A weekend filled with some intriguing storylines. Hey, the U.S. expected to win the Gold Cup this Wednesday, right? And I didn't even know Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier are fighting this Saturday. I wanted to bring that up as well.
I didn't know that
they
one
are
either,
fighting
yeah.
this Saturday, dude. Everybody talking about Mayweather and McGregor. You got Jon Jones fighting Daniel Cormier this Saturday, folks. Wake up. Come on.
A big deal. No, my weekend winner, going to have to steal your thunder, but it's got to be Chris Froome. Four-time winner is a big deal.
You did steal. I was going with Chris Froome as well. I'll make my elaborate point on tomorrow's show. But, hey, another day in the books, folks. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be easy, people.